Numbers 12, verses 11 and 12. Aaron cries out. I could say Aaron comes to his senses. Numbers 12, verses 11 to 12 then. Aaron cries out to Moses. He says to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed," and so on. "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." Here he is crying out to Moses. Yes, he has offended Moses, and he should put it right with Moses. There's no doubt about that. But he's sinned against the Lord. He's offended God. He's brought God's wrath upon him, and he should be crying out to the Lord. Is this man so taken with the priesthood, being a priesthood himself, that he deals with Moses? But whatever the reason, if priesthood has stopped him, as it were, going directly to God, I don't know. But the truth is, in the days of the New Covenant, the letter to the Hebrews explicit, we have no intermediary. We have no priest on earth, no visible priest. Christ is our high priest. We go directly to God, not through saints or priests or ministers, but through Christ himself, we have access to the Father. Anyway, Aaron cries out. And he cries out now in this episode here. What a mercy to him. What a mercy to him. He cries out at the very point of his sin. It wasn't too late for him. How many will only come to their senses, will only begin to cry out when it's too late in the day of judgment? I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but the fact is there is a day of accounting. We shall appear before God, every one of us. There will be a reckoning day. Eternal hell, eternal glory awaits. Which is it? I believe there will be many in that day who will then come to their senses. But it'll be too late then. Then there'll be the crying out, "But it's too late." You see, in Acts 17, Paul preaching on Mars Hill, he came to judgment. You know, some dismissed it. Some said they'd hear again. But some repented and some turned. Some trusted, some believed. But perhaps only a few did. It seems only a few were awakened. How many will rue that sermon? Rue their lost opportunity when they do come to their senses? The prodigal came to his senses and he returned home. Oh, unbeliever, come to your senses now. Be awakened now. Don't leave it to the day of judgment. Cry out for mercy now. Look at Aaron here. Look at his humility compared to his arrogance. "Please, my Lord." Whatever he meant by "my Lord," he was, as it were, submissive to Moses. He was pleading. He was admitting his sin. "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." He admits he committed sin. There is no excuse here. He is self-condemning. He's confessing his guilt. He's owning, admitting his responsibility. He's pleading for mercy. He's bearing his own responsibility. I don't know where Miriam is. There's no passing of the buck here. What do I mean by that? In Genesis 3, Adam passes it on to Eve. Eve passes it on to the serpent and so on. They're all passing the buck, the responsibility. Not here. It's not me, Gov. No, 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 none of that. I am responsible. I've given you the illustration before of the Times Educational Supplement cartoon. Back in the days when it was fashionable to not hold children guilty for their misdemeanor, shall we call it. In this cartoon, there's a towering teacher with a cane in his hand. "Witherspoon," he says, "Witherspoon, some blame your upbringing, some blame your genes, but I blame you. I blame you." The buck stops with me. Aaron admits that. He comes to his senses. Will you come to your senses, my friend? It's not your circumstances, not your upbringing in this. They all play a part, I've no doubt. The truth is, though, I have sinned. That's what Aaron says. That's what I must say. I must own it and recognize it. Repentance is not enough, of course. It must be repentance leading to action. It's not good resolution. That's not enough. Repentance, if it's true repentance, begins in the mind. It comes to the lips. It comes to the heart. It comes to the life. It comes to the action. It really does matter and change us. God be merciful to me, a sinner, is a real heartfelt cry. But the man doesn't go back to his sin. He's not saved because he doesn't go back to his sin. He doesn't go back to his sin because he's saved. Will you repent of your sin now? Have you repented? Are you repenting? Are you turning to Christ now? God be merciful to me, a sinner. This is what's needed, my friend. But this is also a word for the unbeliever. Matthew 5:21-26. If you're trying to pray or trying to read the scriptures and you trying to do this and that and the other, and you remember that your brother, you've offended him, then go and be reconciled to your brother. Go and confess your sin to him in the sense of putting things right with him. Not in the sense of looking for forgiveness of sins from God through that kind of action. But because you are a believer, you know you cannot go unreconciled to fellow believers. This is a challenge to me as I hear this, as I preach it. As I say so often, it's so easy to preach these things, but it's the doing of them. So here is the word for the believer. Don't let's go on harboring grudges. Let's confess our guilt and own it and recognize it between one another and before God, and trust in Christ's mercy, precious blood and righteousness to present us faultless before the throne of grace, before the throne of judgment. That's a word for us, believer. A word for you, unbeliever. Come to your senses now. Cry out for mercy now. Don't go on burying your head in the sand and not listening to the convicting word of God. The Spirit convinces of sin. The Spirit convinces of sin, then leads to Jesus' blood, and to our wondering eyes reveals the secret love of God. May God bless this discourse. May he bring some poor sinners, many poor sinners, to cry out, having come to their senses, to cry out for mercy to the glory of God in Christ. Amen.